This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
My name is Nosipho Radebe. I'm standing in for Noluthando Mthunzi Mlambo. And now we're going to shift our focus once more. And we're going to move to the digital space and talk about how we can thrive there professionally. So the digital space has revolutionized the world of work, presenting new alternatives to the traditional 9-to-5 career. But right now, we'll be reflecting on the plethora of opportunities available to the youth in the digital space. Also delve into the exciting world of digital nomads, individuals who leverage technology to live and work from anywhere in the world, or while securing the bag. Well, here to talk to us or help us unpack how to thrive professionally in the digital age are tech journalist and digital nomad Cheryl Kala, as well as founder of digital firm Projectized Management, Nokuthula Ndlovu. A very good evening to you ladies, and thank you so much for joining us on the show this evening.
Thanks for having us.
Good evening, Mlambo.
All right, it is Nosipho. I am standing in for Noluthando this evening. And thank you again for being with us on the show. Cheryl, I'm going to start with you. Can you share for us your journey on becoming a digital nomad and what motivated you to take this path?
Well, I wanted freedom. Honestly, that was the main motivator. I wanted something that could allow me to travel and see the world because I felt very stuck at that moment. But I couldn't afford to travel. I couldn't afford to go on the adventure if I wanted to. So I began looking for remote positions, and I found one in 2016, but it was still pretty much tied to a desk, even though it was remote, and I didn't know how to get more freedom from that. So about 3 years later, I began to really look for opportunities, and since I've had a strong interest in technology, tech journalism seemed like the way forward. And I really looked for opportunities to make that happen. And through that, I ended up going not all over the world, but it gave me a good head start into traveling. I went to Armenia and Kenya and Namibia, but then unfortunately COVID happened.
Mm-hmm.
So everything was on a back burner. But that's basically how I started with remote work.
Sure. And then you, Nokuthula, what kind of work opportunities exist in the digital space? What can you tell us for those who are interested in going into this space?
Okay, so right now we are in the gig economy, so where we look for resources who are able to do certain work for us for certain hours. So it is a gig economy, and I think there's a mindset shift that needs to happen, especially to fellow South Africans and the youth. You know, so the kind of opportunities that are there are in the data science space, are in the cloud engineering space, are in the mobile first design, are in the virtual and augmented reality space, artificial intelligence, collaborative tools, e-learning platforms, mm-hmm. gamifications, etc. And I know that these words sound like, oh, they are such big words, they are so complex. However, there are opportunities in micro certification. So where we require skills in the gig economy more than qualifications.
Okay, that's definitely an interesting nugget there. Turning back to you, Cheryl, what techniques do you use to stay productive while constantly changing your environment as a tech journalist?
Well, routines are important, especially if you're neurodivergent and you struggle with executive dysfunction. Procrastination can really do a lot if you're not careful. So you need a routine, and you need to understand what you are capable of and work around that. So, for example, me personally, my calendar and my to-do list. That saying of, if it's not on my calendar, it doesn't exist, that is me as a person. I need to block time on my calendar for tasks that I need to do, and then specify the time slots for that. And the company that I work at now, we use Slack. Slack has a really nifty to-do list feature, so I couple that with my calendar, and then I know that my routine part is set. But then when it does feel like I'm spiraling and I'm struggling to actually do what I need to do when it feels impossible to just start. Mm-hmm. One of my personal hacks that works for me is I tell myself I'm going to just do it for 2 minutes. I know that it's hard for me to start this thing, but I'm going to just put 2 minutes aside to set the groundwork. And then usually I find that once I actually get started, I don't stop, because then I'm in the groove, I get going. So if you tell yourself you're just going to do this for 2 minutes, then at least you know that that's a good technique to stay productive if you are struggling. And this could be very hard if you're on the road, if you're on the go. So having these routines in place really helps.
Oh, that is such good advice. And you know, I actually do that when I'm reluctant to go for a run. I always tell myself, you know what, it's fine. We'll just do 1 kilometer, or we'll just do a round around the block and we'll see how we feel about that. And at the end of that, I'll find that I'll actually will have done what I'd actually set out to do the night before. So really good advice there, Cheryl. And then you, Noctula, you know, you've spoken to us about the importance of skills in the digital space. How have work models changed in recent years, specifically post-COVID-19?
Okay, so the work models have moved. They've moved to hybrid, you know, across the world. But I know recently there were some surveys that were done, and some companies were also looking at bringing back the workforce in the office. So the hybrid model and the flexi hours model work to manage lifestyle. However, in the context of our country, I'll speak about a case study that my company personally worked on. In some areas of our country, that is not feasible. Even though the company will, you know, is able to give working tools to the individuals, mm-hmm. Social and economic and environmental limitations are there. Mm. You know, if you look at what has happened in a province of KZN, they've had floods, they've had riots. Infrastructure is not working. You know, some of the connectivity is not visible. Mm. So yes, it can work in some places, the hybrid model, but we also have to consider the digital inclusion limitations that we are still working on towards our country, and also just environmental limitations that we have. So still going back to the office, it makes it possible. But for the rest of the world and those that are not digitally excluded, it's very much possible. I mean, some of our team members are in Europe, and I haven't seen them since COVID, but we've done some incredible work, and it works.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think, yeah, the digital space is probably one of those spaces that something like this could thrive, where, you know, you are not, you can work remotely, you can do things remotely and talk to your colleagues remotely, where you don't have to be fully present at work all the time. Now, back to you, Cheryl. You've spoken to us about how to be productive and, you know, beating procrastination. How should someone evaluate whether an alternative work model is the right thing for them?
I think the best thing there would be to do research, to reach out to people who's actually done it. But you also need to determine what is your personal goals. Do you want flexibility or do you want independence? Because when you are a digital nomad, there's basically two types of models that you can go for. There's one where you will have a steady 9-to-5 job with a fixed salary, which is ideal if you can get that. You might not have as much freedom, but at least you are still remote. You get all of the benefits of being remote. Or you can go freelance, which is way riskier because you don't have that set income, but you do have more freedom. So you need to decide which one works for you, for your personal goals.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can, on a smaller scale, test it out. For example, if you want to go into remote work, you can maybe go on a road trip over a weekend if it is within your means. If you can, even if it's just one town over,
mm-hmm.
go there. See if you can work while you are there. If you can troubleshoot, if anything happens along the way, how are you able to deal with this crisis? Can you connect to the internet? What happens if there's load shedding? So if you can test it on a small scale, I think that would really help. I actually planned to do this in 2019. I wanted to take a bus down to the coast and just take a backpack with me. But then, as luck had it, I was invited to Kenya with Facebook. So I had to basically just figure it out on the go. But if you can test it in a small scale, I think that would be really useful.
And I'm sure that helped you, even though, you know, that's not what you intended, to figure it out on the go. But, you know, it was a challenge that I'm sure that gave you some perspective.
Definitely. You learn very quickly when you are out there by yourself and nobody's coming to save you, that you need to be prepared on your own. And yep. Then you realize when you are there that maybe they have plugs. Our laptops can't plug into their outlet. You need an adapter. Where are you going to find an adapter? So I wouldn't recommend just jumping in the deep end. I had some hard lessons to learn. But, I mean, it got me where I am today, so I'm still grateful.
Yeah, definitely. All right, and then back to you, Nokutela. So we've spoken about, you know, how we can work from different places. But this reluctance of returning to the office, is it justified now that we've seen it's actually possible to get work done outside of the office?
Look, I think every... it will depend on what the organizational strategic, you know, goal is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you look at the top 10 skills that Forbes has and before, you see that interpersonal networking is one of the top 10 skills, according to Forbes, right? And also communication is one of the top 10 skills. And I think... with all the digital skills, the automation, the generative AI that is coming to the market, you know, and also mental health challenges that have come with everything that everyone has gone through in this world.
Mm.
As much as I'm a techie, I still believe that interpersonal skills and coming to the office and just seeing the humans is important. And I think it must be trialed out. You look at data. So we use data to make decisions. If some people that are specialists, they really do not want to come to the office. We haven't seen them for almost 2 years. They work from home and are very productive. Whereas when they come to the office, they are not productive the way that we'd like them to be productive. So I guess, we are still scaling this.
Mm-hmm.
The whole world, it was the first time for all of us to go through COVID, and we are all scaling. So I know a lot of organizations are trialing going back to the office and maybe having 3 times a week or 2 times a week.
Mm-hmm.
I think it depends, you know, on the organizational strategy and what they want to get out of it. You know, in our environment, we hardly see each other unless we have to go and see clients. And it's also like an inbuilt trust. And it was such a shock for the youth that came in during that time.
Mm-hmm.
But they quickly adapted because some people were expecting to be in the office every day. But they had to adapt because we are very much focused on output and development.
Yes, that's true, Nokutela. Not every organization is the same and has the same objectives. So it's definitely weighing those objectives and seeing where you fit in there. And then, Cheryl, so how do you balance the desire for flexibility with the need for financial and professional stability?
It would come back down to your type of remote work that you're going for, whether it's a fixed salary position or whether it's freelance. If it's fixed, then it's easier for you to balance your flexibility because you get to work the hours that you need, but you're also still getting paid for it. Whereas
yeah.
If you are freelancer, you need a little bit more. You need to have diversifying income streams. This could be multiple projects or freelance opportunities or different clients. You would also need some financial planning. So you would need to maintain a budget. And this is very hard, especially with our currency and our current economy.
Mm-hmm.
It's really hard to save. But if you can save and obviously cut costs where you can, that will help a lot. And then just basically networking. If you can build a strong professional network for support, then you will get opportunities from that network. You never know when somebody is going to scroll through your post and see what you need, and they maybe know somebody who they connect you to. And yeah, so it's your, I would say, diversifying income streams, financial planning and budgeting, and building a network of support.
Definitely, definitely. And now, Nokutela, how can they make the most of the internet, to build thriving careers?
internet, generative artificial intelligence. I think everything is at the tip of our fingers,
mm-hmm.
right? At the tip of our keypads. If you need information right now, it is easy to get information. And I think the youth have an opportunity to also take advantage of upskilling, take advantage of the creative economy, take advantage of a borderless economy through the internet. I mean, there is absolutely no reason why connectivity or connectedness throughout the world, whether it's in the skilling, whether it's in the job market, whether it's in the gig economy, whether it's in the, you know, in any career, music, creative, the internet and technology has made us to be able to sit in your room and get access to the rest of the world. So I appeal to the youth to take advantage even of those micro courses that are available. Connect with the world on different platforms, on LinkedIn. I mean, I know LinkedIn, social media. Utilize social media for upskilling yourself, upskilling your business, connecting your business, you know, and ensuring that you are visible. Be visible and be intentional. You cannot be invisible in this world. You have to be visible. And the internet is giving us those options. Yeah,
but I like that idea of upskilling because, you know, sometimes courses are a lot cheaper than taking maybe a one-year diploma or these longer courses that require more money. Whereas you can just, you know, take a few smaller courses where you can gain the skills and eventually it will lead towards something new.
Absolutely. Mm. And volunteer whilst you are still mastering the skills. I think, you know, it's important that we also give our youth some realities. So whilst you are still looking for, still building your business or scaling your business, if there are opportunities to volunteer a few hours so that you can master the skills, if there are those opportunities while you're still waiting for the internship, whilst you're still waiting for building your business, volunteer so you can get access and put on hours to master whichever craft or skill that you are working on.
Yes, definitely. And then, Cheryl, your take on this. How can the youth make the most of the internet to build thriving careers?
There's never really been a better time for this than now. Like we've said, this information is at your fingertips. So if you want to go into this, the time really is now, especially with the disruption of AI and machine learning, also coupled with the permanent changes that came to businesses post-COVID. If you want to use the internet, just start, just go. You might need a website to get started, but you can even skip that step and go straight to social media. They've got so many good networking opportunities these days, especially LinkedIn. You can these people building entire businesses on LinkedIn. So it really can be done, and now is the perfect time to get started.
Ah, I like that. Just start. Kind of sounds like a sports ad. Right. So, Noctula, what are some of the lesser known but potentially lucrative opportunities in the digital space that you're excited about?
I'm excited about AI, artificial intelligence. I'm really excited about it. I'm excited about how we are going to show up as a country using technology.
Mm.
I'm excited about the advantage of having a young population that actually loves the internet. You just go to TikTok, then you'll see how young people are very excited about technology. I'm excited about the limitless possibilities that, you know, through technology, everyone has space to thrive, and how we can start exporting our platforms, our content, our skills, not just in this country but across the world.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm excited for, and I'm telling you that, you know, our banking systems in South Africa are one of the best in the world. So the talent that comes from South Africa is also recognized in the world. So I'm really excited about what South Africa is going to be able to display using technology and scaling through technology to show what we are capable of.
Definitely. And, you know, AI is such an exciting one because it's so new and there's so much that we don't know about this technology. And there's so much that it could potentially provide towards us or give to us. But Cheryl, your take on AI, have you encountered it? Have you sort of put it, made it a part of your work?
Every day. It's a big part of my day.
Yeah.
I'm also very excited for generative AI specifically because it takes the stress out of so many tasks that would usually just take hours out of your day, whether it is replying to emails or creating your social media posts. You can really use AI to make that whole process so much easier. Just an example, earlier this month I interviewed South Korean artists who had their artworks displayed in Pretoria.
Mm-hmm.
And through AI and Slack's transcription features, I could conduct an interview in English, record the South Korean voice notes, and translate the entire. I had a translator, so I'm sure that what was said is accurate.
Mm.
But I could still go and put everything through AI and write an entire article. The interview wasn't even conducted in English. So that's just the starting point of how we can use AI as journalists or writers. It's really an exciting time to be using generative AI at the moment.
All right. Thank you so much, Cheryl. I'm going to leave it there with you, ladies. Thank you so much for joining us this evening, talking, you know, thriving professionally in the digital age.
Thank you so much for having us. Thank you.
All right. Those were our guests, Cheryl Kalla, tech journalist, and Nokuthola Ndlovu from Projectized Management.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.